So we're going to start. We have a few people at the table, a few people live, Facebook, and a few people online. This Maimer is the second installment of a Maimer in a whole section of Lakuti Torah called Drushim Rosh Hashanah Ve'aseret Simei Teshuvos Yom HaKippur. These are Maimorim, and we're going to start with Rosh Hashanah, of course, because it's the one that's coming up. So I'm just saying a few words of recapitulation. Where we actually are going to start will be on the second page of this Maimer. We can recapitulate by just really looking at the words. Looking at the words. Tiku b'chodesh shefer. Blast. Make a blast in the new shefer. That's literally what the word said. Make a blast in the new shefer. So, the new. The new means this is the new of the news. This is the news of the news. Every month is called a Chodesh, and this Rosh Hashanah is just called Chodesh, which means... Come in.
Very jarring.
You got it? We'll pause here. We'll let somebody come in who's coming up. Coming up the stairs. Hello. Hi.
Yeah.
Doreen.
Come on in.
Doreen, come sit down.
Water.
Sorry, guys, you can't see Doreen, but Doreen is can see nobody either, except us at the table. Hi.
This is so cool. I see it in person.
Welcome. Have a seat. Relax. There's water. Where's your water pitcher?
I'm so happy.
I'm affectionate.
Okay, so while she's...
the water is just filtering.
How did it get so low?
We all drink.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Maybe you could pour me. Can you pour me?
I will.
Thank you.
Expect.
All right. We'll wait for you. And all of you out there, you'll wait for us. They all disappeared.
Hey,
yeah, blue. Men Mordechai Fadlon. Right. Good evening.
Mochan, you want sushi?
I'm not sushi.
No? You're not a sushi.
Should I put a ketchup on it for my work?
Oh, my God.
Even like
did you tell
try
you? I'm offended.
No. This is the problem.
Okay, guys, we're just waiting for one other person to come to the table here. It is an odd arrangement here with the table and the phone and the internet. I prefer actually like the days when everybody came around the table.
Well, we could get one of these for each person next time.
That's a good idea. Well, you know, if we did Zoom, we would basically all be together. But a lot of people don't want to do Zoom. All right, I'm going to start the introduction again. Okay. The main inyan, the main avoida of Rosh Hashanah is there are three parts to the davening, and these are very particularly outlined very discreetly in Musaf. We say Pesukim of Malchus, we crown the king. We say Pesukim of Zichroinus, we ask Hashem to remember. What does he need to remember? It's not as if he forgets. We ask Hashem to go way back into his consciousness and redo the whole structure all over again. I mean, he made it this way. We're just asking that he should do what he planned to do in the first place. And the Gemara says, we say Pesukim de Malchus, we say Pesukim de Zechreinos, and how do we do this? How do we arouse him to be king and to remember? Bema with the Shofar. So the Shofar is the major, well, I'm going to say instrument, of course it's an instrument. It's the major vehicle for bringing the totally new year into being. And when we say the totally new year, we mean we bring Hashem back to that state preceding the original creation. So this is a very fundamental teaching about Rosh Hashanah. Doreen, Rosh Hashanah is not the beginning of the year. That's not the word. You know what the word Rosh, anybody knows what the word Rosh means? Head. It's the head. So in this first part of the Maimer that we learned last week, he explains that just like the head is the central intelligence agency and the central powerhouse for absolutely everything that occurs in the body, So the head of the ear is the central nervous system, but more importantly, it's the original state with which Hashem goes back to before creation and puts it back into creation. And there's like a quantum moment, what I call a quantum moment, a moment when everything that has been goes up and then turns around and comes back, but there's no gap between them. It's the change in state with no, at least, discernible gap. So that's why I call it quantum. There's two states at once. It's a state of nothing. Everything goes back up. And then it's a state of the origin of something at the same time. And that's Rosh Hashem. Yeah.
One of these.
One of these. It doesn't really matter which Kabbalah. At least I don't think so. So it doesn't really matter. And so that's the skinny on Rosh Hashanah. And the instrument, literally the instrument for bringing this into being, the state that I just described, is the shofar. And those are the three words. Tikkun b'chodesh shofar. With the blast of the shofar, everything is totally renewed. Okay? And when we say everything is totally renewed, what we mean is everything reverts to the state of total infinity without any definition, which is the state before creation, and then brings about creation. Hi.
Hello.
Elisheva. And?
These are my nieces and my sister.
Oh, gosh. My friend. What's your name?
Rachel
Tivia.
And Sarah.
And Sarah. And this is, you can introduce yourself.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Come sit. There's sushi. There's water.
So you guys came all the way from Rivers?
No, from Washington Heights.
Which is,
wow.
that's closer, right?
Washington, it's a little bit closer. 15 minutes.
You good? You want to share?
I want to look at the text.
So let's, I guess I'd have to introduce a little bit. I'll be really short on the introduction to the mimer, but I want to introduce us to the class. The class is, we have people on phone, we have people on Facebook Live, and we have the table, right? And the class is meant to be as interactive, it's meant to be as interactive as you say, as you want it to be. And it's so interactive that the hostess of this class, who is not here tonight, her plane was stuck, she wrote to the Rebbe, six months ago, asking for a blessed bracha for this class. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave, as she opened up her, you know, there are various ways that people believe that they're tapping what the Rebbe has to say. She opened up the egress, the letters from the Rebbe, and the Rebbe spoke about a class and gave a bracha and said that it would be a very good idea that that those who want to read should be encouraged to read, but not forced to read. And this was a totally novel idea. I've never taught a class like that in my life, but that's what we're doing. So I'm going to kick it off, and then if anyone else wants to, you know, you can come in. And if you don't, you know, if you don't feel any pressure to do it, and if you need help with the translation, I'll help with the translation. Okay, but we're going to look. We're in the second week of this, so we're going to just briefly say the first week. And the first week is compressed into the first three words of the mimer. This is the mimer from the Alter Rebbe. Tikkun b'chodesh shofar, blast. You should blast because there are three voices of the shofar. One is a blast, one is a shvor and is broken, which is compared to either wailing or groaning. And the third is rapid staccatos. So the blast is understood as the blast which awakens the king. The king, where was he? Was he asleep? No, he was managing the world so far all year long. But we want to awaken to do something that is not within the norm of what he's been doing all year long, which is the second word, chidush. The blast of the shofar will bring about a total chidush. Do you all know what chidush means?
Yeah,
that's chidush. Yeah. Okay, good. You speak Hebrew. I don't speak Hebrew, so you have an advantage. I bring total news, total reinvention of the Kol creation happens on Rosh Hashanah. And how does it happen? B'shofar. In the shofar. Huh?
Yes, are we going to demonstrate?
Those of you online, you know, this is
a ram's horn.
Okay. That's a tequila. Well, you guys know that. What went?
That's my alarm clock.
That's the wailing or the groaning, which will, that's what we're going to speak about mainly tonight. And then the assertion, the staccato assertion of confidence.
That was good. That was a good,
good demo. Okay, well, this we could go on to our, where we are, okay? And a lot more could be said, but I'd rather say. So we're on the second page. Okay, this, if we get, I bracketed it out so we can hopefully get through this tonight, because there's a last shot at it before Rosh Hashanah. Ella, except, Shal Yedei Zeh Nemar Soymich Hashem L'chol Ha'Nechim. What he's been talking about is the fact that what's being renewed here is Hashem's kingship.
I'm sorry, it's not bracketed out for me.
Oh, you have one unbracketed on?
Yeah, then Ava Shalva and Nama.
Yeah, but some are bracketed.
Fourth line.
You have the
bracket. Right, yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's it. I know.
You have enough light. Do you want to take a light switch over there?
Sure.
Does that help you?
Okay. Fourth line down. So he's been speaking about, as I said before you guys came in, there are three parts to the Rosh Hashanah davening which are very highlighted in Musaf: Malchus, Ukrainos, and Shaifers. We coronate the king. And the king, what is the kingdom? The kingdom, in the language of this Maimon, in the language of Hasidus, the kingdom is an integration of higher than definition into definition. Or another way of putting it, it's bringing God's super consciousness into discrete revelation. Do those words mean anything to you?
Say it again.
Bringing God's super consciousness is higher than being conscious and revealed into revelation. Because remember, God, there's
sounds like Seder Stalshuis.
Huh? Higher than what we call Seder Stalshuis. I don't know. I know you a little bit. I know you more. There's this language. I have to get make sure that the language is meaningful here. If it's not, you got to tell me. Huh? I call it super consciousness, or we'll put it another way. Hashem is infinite.
Right.
You got that, right? Everyone knows that, even if you don't believe in God. You know that some people in the world have this idea that there's an infinite intelligence that manages everything, right? Now, infinite implies there's no end. Right? It just goes and goes and goes. Yet we live in a world in which everything has an end.
Right.
You know, this has a certain dimension. Everything at this table and every person at this table. So there's an interplay here, an interoperation of the infinite with the finite, which is not something that anybody except Hashem can do, to take infinite and make it finite. And I've quoted in one of our classes, I think upstate, this 18th century poet William Blake, in his poem, The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, says that what God does is he puts infinity in the palm of your hand, which is a total paradox, right? Infinity in the palm of your hand. That's the creation. The creation is the Ein Sof, the infinity, put into a box. As a result of that, everything that exists contains something of the infinite within them, and every creation in the vegetable plane and the animal plane and above, of course, you could see that has motion and intelligence. Every one of us humans and every one of us plants and every one of us pieces of dirt all have something of the Ein Sof within us, the infinite within us. Otherwise, we would have no existence. But on the other hand, if it just remained Ein Sof, we would have no individuated existence. We wouldn't be 7 or 8, however many people we are at the table, however many people out there. So he has to do this trick. He has to resolve the paradox of infinity and finitude existing together. And that's what happens all the time, every moment. There's a pasuk in Tilim that Hashem is mechadish b'chol yom tamid, master bereshis. That Hashem mechadish, it's the same word as chidush that we had up there. He renews it every day. But every day he doesn't go back to the beginning, before of everything. He goes back, he re-speaks. That's the metaphor that Stephen considers that. And it's a metaphor that comes from Genesis. He spoke, right? He said, Vayemer Hashem, Vayemer Hashem said, he or, let there be light. Vayemer Hashem, let there be Rakia. That's speaking. Speaking is a relatively external power that we have. It brings something that's hidden, which is our thought, into revelation. But there's deeper levels of hiddenness, and that's what I call the superconsciousness. The way, way depths of badness and depthness in a person that's way before thought. And we'll call that the root of the Ein Sof, the root of the infinite. And that's what happens in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah and Shem Goyim, it's a restart. It's pushing the restart button on the entirety of creation. And the metaphor for that is his kingship. What does he do? Like a king who sits in his, because it's a male, a throne room. King sits in his throne room. And people hardly ever see the king. Very rarely there's the king. And there's no really need to see the king, because all you have to do is know the king is there. And that when you see something with a signature on it, that looks like that's the signature of the king. So to put that in sort of words that relate to normalcy, what it would be like if we could walk around every day with and have in mind that everything we see, this little plastic cup, has the signature of the king in it. Because if it didn't have the signature of the king in it, it wouldn't exist. So the metaphor is not 100%, because the king is a created thing, right? But the king issues edicts. And the edicts of the king are the proclamations and the laws and the orders that make the kingdom work. So the king, the melech, is Hashem. And we're asking on the first part of the Pesukim on Rosh Hashanah, as a Pesukim of Malchus, that he should reveal his kingship. He should come from the infinite, his throne room, his back room, from backstage, however you want to look at it, and come up on the stage and reveal himself. So that's what we're asking for. Ella, however, so from that perspective, we and everything in this world are rather teeny. In fact, if you compare finite to infinite, in a sense we don't have any existence. And from his perspective, we really don't, because he's everything and we're just little somethings. So
isn't that the concept of I am I and you are you, or right, Jim, talking about?
No.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I don't remember how it goes, but it's one of these like riddles, like if
I am I and you are you,
then are you?
No, if I am I because you are you,
exactly.
And you are you because I am I, then I'm I and you're not.
Correct. That's what it is. Thank you. Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about? Tell me.
It's like in terms of existence. If I exist, like how can I exist within Hashem?
So, can you say it one more time? If I am I, say it.
If I am I because
I am I because you are.
In other words, the only way I get to be I is because you exist.
You
want
to be like you because I want to be like, because I want to.
Or is it that, or is it that, or is it I can now define myself? I can define myself as something other.
Oh, that's true. Because like most of the things are compared, like statistics.
Right.
Things are compared to other people.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
So
I get my I-ness.
How do we explain?
So that's good.
That's what
it works. I get my I-ness from the fact that I can see that there's somebody else.
Right.
Right. So if I am I,
then if I am I you
because
are,
you are you.
You are you because I am I. Then I'm not I. You're not you.
Right. And ultimately, that's the truth.
Oh, my sister.
Your sister?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Cool.
This is your sister?
Yeah, my older sister.
And she's your sister?
She's her daughter, and she's also
sister and daughter. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They had a birthday party, so I went.
What?
They had a birthday party, so I went to their house, and she's like, we're coming in this year, too.
So, Elisheva, we met Elisheva this summer in Tannersville, because you know I'm in Tannersville. So I give a share to people when we went up in Tannersville. And Elisheva decided, she's going to make this her, what do you say to her?
Weekly
treat to come from Riverdale.
As long as I can keep it up. Not Riverdale, Washington.
Why do I keep saying Riverdale?
You always going to say Riverdale.
I'll change. It's just, I'm a slow learner. I'm a slow learner. Okay. So I don't know. We said, if I am I because you are you, and you are, well, I'm not looking at
you. Are you.
You are the one who's saying, I'm sorry. Different shit.
Look alike.
Yeah, but I get it. And you are going what? And you are?
I am I.
Because you are you. And you are you because I am I.
Right.
And I am not I. And you
right,
can advise
right.
this is
right.
based on your perspective.
Exactly.
So if you're saying it's a positive thing, but...
No, I'm not saying it's a positive thing. I'm saying it's a negative also. That if my only definition of who I am is in relation to somebody else, then I'm not... I have no existence, right? If we both are in the same position. And that's, that's the paradox, right? Because the paradox is...
If Hashem is infinite and we're finite, how is it possible... I mean, it's within Hashem,
right.
yet we're finite.
So
Hashem's infinite. How can you even
right.
reconcile that?
So there,
it's like
so
divided
you reconcile,
by zero.
You reconcile
it's impossible.
The Siddhis reconcile it. Go ahead.
I was thinking, like, okay, no, I just went into it in terms of, like, myself, like, talking to my voice in my head.
Yeah.
And my other levels of consciousness also.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's something clicked that I...
What?
And then it's kind of like that neither one is the truth. The truth is that we're one.
Right.
Yeah, or the truth is that we're none.
When you
see. We're one, we're all or none.
Right? Right.
Zero and one.
When
and they're both,
fusion.
Now, both are true.
Right.
This is the paradigm. Both are true. We are really nothing. Mm-hmm. It says the expression in Chassidus, in Kabbalah, Kula Kamei Kalef Hashem. Everything in front of Hashem is considered like nothing. And it is. Because everything that exists is only some extension of himself. It's not like an external you out there. There's nothing. Ain't od milvado. That's another thing. There is nothing besides him. So that's like explicitly that there is nothing besides him. Yet, so that's called das elyon. That's the higher way of looking at things. That's God's way of looking at things when he looks at himself because and understands that everything is really a part of him. There is nothing separate from him. So that's nothing. We're nothing. That's his perspective. In simple terms, I mean simple. And then I need that you guys. I don't know what any of you are holding. A few of you I know what you're holding in terms of Hasidus. So you've got to tell me if you understand or don't understand. The simplest way of putting it is there's something called an ayin, which is a nothing, and there's something called a yesh, which is a something. So now let's look at it. Which is which? From God's perspective, he's the true yesh. He's the truth, and there is nothing else besides him. And we're nothing. And from our perspective, we experience ourselves as something, and we don't have any really revealed...
It was said before that we are part of the yesh. So
we are part of the yesh, the true yesh.
Right.
But our perspective isn't that, normally. Our perspective is that we're separate existences.
Right.
Right? We're each of us, each is a clump of a yesh. Right, separate from each other. Thank God we have a godly soul within us so that we can resonate with the idea that we're all a part of God at the same time. But our normal way of looking at things is, again, however many of us there are in the room, there's a number, seven, right? There's not one person here from our perspective, right? From his perspective, there's nothing here. From our perspective, there's a lot of stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're in a different,
so now that will lead us into the minor hope.
Well, I mean,
here we go.
At that point where something isn't, that's Hashem. Like,
at the point where both things
the
exist,
is
the paradox.
Hashem.
The paradox
that's
is Hashem. That's one of the expressions that the Kabbalists use to describe God. Noisei, he carries paradox. He carries opposites. The Noisei Hafokin, he carries opposites. Zero and one at the same time.
Right.
Your computers work on zero and one, but they don't exist at the same time. But in a quantum state, two opposites can exist at the same time.
Right, and that's,
so that's
that, and that space is Hashem.
That space is Hashem.
Where it like seems impossible.
Right. Now, coming out of that space into our space, through the creation, we appear to be something. And this is on the second page, fourth line down. I don't know what happened to all the ones that ended. Oh, you got one. I mean, bracket. You have a bracket.
Yeah, I have a bracket.
I guess we'll just
appear.
With the fourth line down. Ella, al zeh nemar. And this it said, Seimech Hashem l'chol ha'nefshim. Hashem supports all those who are fallen. That's us. Not just us humans, it's the whole creation. Has fallen into a state of concrete existence, singular defined existence, from a state of allness. So we are the fallen ones, and Hashem supports them. Li'es enei kol eilach yisabedu. His eyes are on all those who hope for him. His eyes are on all of us who are lonely for the fact, see, this is the edge here, is as we experience ourselves as separate, we also have something in part of us that wants to be connected. And this is like an essential human need. There was a Jewish psychologist named Abraham Maslow. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He developed what's famously called in the secular world Maslow's triangle of human needs. The basis of human needs is survival. And in there comes fear of being under attack and defense against attack, and then survival. And survival brings up fever, eating, right? And then you get more sophisticated, you get into commerce. At the top of his pyramid, the highest, deepest human need is transcendence. That's really the feeling that I can always transcend my limitations. And this manifests itself on every level when just a desire to have a friend. I want to get out of myself. And then wearing around when I quoted that Sylvia Plath line, the awesomeness of self-centeredness, the appallingness of self-centeredness. But to the extent that a person is just wrapped up in oneself, you're isolated. And when there's an intrinsic need in everybody for some kind of community. From friendship to community to the ultimate transcendence. So we are the fallen ones. That's our state of yeshus. But we have within us a desire, and what we're going to translate as the cry of the shofar, to be connected. We don't want to be in this state of separateness. We want to come out of it while we're here feeling a connectedness. So and that's why it says that Hashem is drawn down to everyone who desires to be and hopes to be close to him. Which every person inherently and deeply desires to be, his deep desire and will, his will and desire, who sheyor Hashem believe, is that God, Hashem, should radiate, should shine into one's heart. The method of bringing God into one's heart is to, if you want to bring the king into your own existence, you create a relationship with him on his terms, not on your terms. And the terms that God has given us to relate to him is the Torah and the mitzvahs. These are his terms. And we take upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, the Ava Uberatzim, with love and willfulness. And through this, if we will do this, let me ask you, what is the this that we're talking about? Which we will do
The willingness
to and openness and desire to connect with him. Right. When we give ourselves over to this, through this, he opens up his hands, as we say every day in Ashrei. Right? Open up your hands and satisfy every living thing. So Baratzen normally says according to what they want, but it's also according to your will. You know, that we should connect on the level of Ratzen to Ratzen, will to will. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, make your will his will, and we'll make your will, etc. So we have to cultivate. And it's not so hard when you think about the opportunities that God has given us to feel lonely. Every one of those moments of loneliness is an opportunity for cultivation of connection, because the reason for the loneliness is disconnect. And connection can be done in many, many different ways. It doesn't have to be as abstract as sit down and learn Torah. It can be giving tzedakah to somebody else, going out of yourself, losing yourself a little bit by giving of yourself to somebody else. It could be something as simple as a phone call. Anything that creates connection. It could be something as simple as having the amount of water that you need every day, just to drink, so that you be sensitive to what your needs are, and make connections on whatever levels that you have. And when we do that, when we open up our will to connect with him, he's pasei, as we pray, the expression of why I'm doing that is pasei as you therefore open up your hands, umasvilo kol chayrot son, and give satisfaction to all those who want to connect with you. And this will that we have down here will arouse your will up there which is called the supernova. So basically what we're saying, this is actually a pretty radical idea for anyone who hasn't heard it yet, that we influence Hashem. I mean, we probably, if you haven't thought of it, why do we pray? What's the point of prayer? The point of prayer isn't just that it's not just a psychologically soothing exercise. We pray, this is what Poseh HaSidakha. Open up your hands. Give us. You're the one who has everything to give, and we are the destitute. We're the only, the ones who are separate from you. We want to feel connected. So we give our will to you so that you'll give your will to us. And that opening up of his will is called the Gilui Malchus, a revelation of his kingship. And as I said, that's one of the first set of pesukim that we say in Rosh Hashanah. We pray the pesukim of Malchus, that he should open up his infinite source of blessing and give us to little lowlife down here who are relying totally on his feeding us.
Is this explanation like helping to prepare us to crown the king, like that whole concept?
Yeah. Crowning the king is indicating the king that we want him.
What I'm getting from what we're learning now is how we prepare ourselves to become the
Exactly. And in other places, it says that the tekiah, as opposed to the other blast of the shofar, is that's the leading sound. That's the sound of coronating the king. Our blast to you. Become king. Reinvest yourself in the creation, and then all the other things, and have mercy upon us and give all of the beautiful things that only you can give to us. Crowning the king. And he does give to all of those who connect with him willingly, with our will. And how he does it, Agidei Pesichas Hayudim. So this is a play on words. Poseach es yodecha. So the Zohar says the following. Al tikre yodecha el yudecha. Don't read your hand, read your yud. What do you take from this? What's it mean?
The yud represents chachma, right? That flash of
chachma. Yud recommends chachma, right?
Your yad.
Well, yad we get. But why does the Zohar say yad means yud? There's more to it. What does it mean anything to you?
No.
Okay. She has a star. Say that. What?
Like the 2 years of Hashem.
2 years of Hashem, right. 2 years of Hashem. And the yud is very encapsulated, like a point, right? So a point has nothing to reveal. You don't see anything.
It's like a seed.
Okay. Now what happens when the seed opens up? It opens up. Okay? So we're getting somewhere. In that yud is encapsulated the infinite. Again, this is the paradox. He contracts himself into a point. And that point, though it appears to be nothing, contains everything. And that's why we ask that point to open up. Now she said, it's Chokmah. There are four letters in the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So in the Kabbalah and Hasidus tells that the Yud goes on Chokmah. Chokmah is the right brain. Chokmah is that part of the brain that's subject to flashes of inspiration. Flashes of creativity. It's just like
like
in a conversation I was having with
thought.
We're not at thought yet. It's before thought.
Flash of inspiration.
Right.
Do you ever
flash of chokmah, like a spark, like the aha? Yeah, you
aha.
Like the aha.
That's the word. That's Hoffman's aha.
Yod represents that point.
It's connected to Kesser in that it relates to Kesser and brings Kesser down into the lower worlds.
Is it a Kesser?
Good, it's a very good question. So now we have to get a little model in our head here. I always use my head, or anybody's head as the model, right? So the head's connected to the torso is connected to the rest of the body. Fine. Where does the head get its stuff from? The stuff that's in your head. I'm not talking about your thoughts. The thoughts that you were raised in, etc. Yeah, it comes through neurotransmitters, right? Those are just the wires. Think of those as a wire. What's carried on the wires? Light.
Energy.
Electricity. Energy. Where does the energy come from?
Well,
the power. Well, yeah, the power. What's the powerhouse?
Your will. I've done nothing.
No. The powerhouse. All right, let's go back. Let's go back. The powerhouse, I mean, which way of looking at it. And because you've got an analogy here. The energy in the language of Hasidus is called light. Light or. On the first day he created light. Hi, Jim. The first day he created light. But that light was infinite and formless. So he had to find a way of bringing it into formedness, right? So he creates this little interface. Little interface. Does that language mean anything? Like computers have interfaces, right? There's an interface. A light bulb is a kind of an interface. It's an interface between energy that you can't see, electricity, and it emits something that you can see. So the top part of it, I'm going to get to it in a second, the top part of it connects to the electricity. It's capable of dealing with what you can't see and touch, which it's a metaphor for what we call the ayin, the infinite. And at the same time, it's a vehicle for bringing that infinite down into something that you can see. Right? So Chokhmah Darin is an interface between the lower, what we call filling all worlds, and the crown, which is the root of transcending all worlds. Crown is the infinite, and Chokhmah and the below of Chokhmah is the finite, and Chokhmah stands as the interface between the infinite and the finite. So between the crown and the brain. This is the reason we can talk this way, using metaphors about physicality, is not because I'm making them up. It's because it's because of one extremely content-heavy utterance from the Torah. Nasa Odom B'Tzalmim. Let us make man in our image. I mean, what does that mean? He has no shape of a body, right? Okay. He's told us in the level of the Torah, which is called the Sod, you know, the Torah has four levels, Pshat, Drash, Remez, and Sod, in the secret level of the Torah, which is the Kabbalah, that he has an expressive, his way of expressing himself is through 10 spheres, which we're talking, the crown is on top of the 10. So right now we're envisioning a human, and we're envisioning, in fact, a king. A king with a crown, with a head, torso, legs, feet, etc. So the Kabbalah gives names to each of those aspects of this structure. The crown, and then the head has three, the right brain, left brain, and middle brain. The right brain is Chokhmah, interfaces to the crown, transfers to Bina, which is understanding, and this third part of the brain connects to the top of the spinal cord and starts generating heartfelt emotion. So all this is just derived from the fact that one sentence, let us make man in our image. So, yeah, but it's the Sod, you know, I mean, a little thing that maybe you don't know. That, these four levels of the Torah are called Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod are Pardes. Pshat, Drash, which is called the garden, right? So Hashem has made his Torah like a garden. A garden which has four different categories of fruit or produce in it, right? The simple meaning, the interpretive meaning, the hinted meaning, and the secret meaning. And somebody asked me once, how would I define the criteria for someone being a good teacher of Kabbalah? And the first thing that popped to mind, is this person a master of the other three levels? Because if you're not a master of the other three levels, then your Kabbalah is not rooted. Because there has to be consistency. The Torah is emes, right? It's the truth. It means it's consistent on every level. So the simplest meaning of pshat has to align with the secretest meaning of secret. So having said all that, not sure why, we've learned about three lines.
We were talking about the yud.
The yud is Chokhmah. It interfaces between the transcendent level, which is the crown, and the immanent level, which is everything below, Chokhmah, Bina, Das, etc. So Nimshach Yes Tzadik Hashem Bechol Derocha. If a person yearns to connect with God at God's what I call it, a superconscious depth of creative creation before he actually creates anything in his, we'll call it essence for a shorthand word, that will be drawn down. God's essence, God's will be drawn down. As I said, that a person will be righteous, a tzaddik Hashem, righteous in the ways of Hashem, in everything that the person does. And the person will be a chosid in everything that he does as well. He says one of the things that we said to connect with God is to imitate his midos. Just as he is kind, be kind. Just as he is merciful, be merciful. And with that, we resonate with God. In every deed that one does, which means deeds on the physical level, you'll draw down God's kindness in everything that you do. When you do a kindness for someone else, you've been made in his image. So as a result of that, when you draw down kindness to another person, that's reflected back out, and God's sublime chesed is drawn down into the world. So this is a very interesting, to me, paradox. On one hand, we're nothing. On the other hand, he's given us this ability to tap into his very essence. And he's made it this way. Let us make man in our image. And an image is a copy, right? And when you make a copy of something, it's a duplicate. So, I mean, you can't say that we are duplicates of God, but you can say, in another way, that we are.
We can emulate
him, and we can arouse him. What goes around comes around. What goes up has to come down. What goes up has to come down. If we're kind, he'll be kind.
I just had a brain flash.
Good.
Whoa.
Go for a moment.
In our image, is that why there's both male and female?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wait, what? What
is in
that
our
mean?
Image. It's right.
Oh.
Onto something. It's onto something.
Keep going.
It's on.
several portions.
It's,
plural.
Oh, in our image.
Not
the
on the mitzvah main.
I mean, there's a feminine and masculine.
Yeah, it's before the split.
It's out of the
And if you guys are around... around when we learn Parshat Bereishis, we'll do this time again that I do a lot, which is based on the gender stuff.
Oh.
Where duplicity of gender comes from. It's very...
Where did that come from?
Look at the Torah.
No. You're
well,
my Ruach HaKodesh.
Get it off my mom.
Sushi.
Get it off my mom. Yeah, if everything is united and singular at source, then everything which comes out. So, when Adam comes out, when he nasa Adam, he just plops. First of all, man in itself, because it's a he she, it's a it. We'll call it an it at this first moment. Is a composite of two of the most extreme things there are,
which is no.
Well, that's true too. It is true. But dirt, the lowest of the low, and Elokus, the highest of the high.
Right.
In fact, one of the Hasidic teachings about the word Adam, as you can think we're breaking up words, is we don't get very far in this class.
No.
And you just stop me if you want to give me a sign to keep going.
Can I say something?
Sure.
The tamenu,
like
when somebody takes a picture of something, it's two-dimensional. It looks like a person, but the person is a three-dimensional being. And then on a paper, it's just somebody makes a picture of it or a paper.
Then it's two dimensional.
It's not even, it looks like the person, but it can't do what the person does.
Good, that's great. We look like God, and we can have it, but we aren't God.
It's the same thing.
Right?
It's a great muscle.
The other lurking things,
the same
we're
way
talking
that we're like Hashem, it's the 3D into the 2D. The 2D looks like
right.
It couldn't exactly do
but
it,
can't
but,
do
but,
anything
but
that,
that's how we are Hashem to Elu. But that's
very,
very
nice.
Like a hologram.
Like a hologram.
Even a hologram is not the person himself or herself.
Right.
A hologram is doing what the person
no,
is.
No,
yeah.
Hologram is just
it's an image. Which
you
is
see it in 3D sort of.
No,
it's not
about the
2D
image.
It's like a projection.
No, but that's
very close to what we are.
Correct.
What I'm saying is Hashem is so far from what we are because the fourth dimension, we can't even imagine what it is.
Right.
Can you imagine infinite dimension? We know
they exist.
We know it matters.
Of course
it
exists.
But we can't even imagine what they are.
No, of course. And one other lurking thing, tselem. The word tselem is also, the root word is tzadik lamed, which is sail, shadow.
Oh,
we're just a shadow. We're a shadow of God.
Our image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Peter Pan, he doesn't want to grow up. He doesn't want to leave
okay. So, but we have this ability to behave in ways that affect him. There, the muscle, the copy
that's
doesn't affect
muscle.
The copier.
That's amazing.
But we do.
Very good.
Very nice.
I'm like, wow, it's really clicking. That's wonderful. Extra sushi for you.
I'm going to skip to the next bracket, which is in this before you get to Ois Beis, count up to one.
The
Hu Inyan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up. It begins Mizeh. Okay, so this, I mean, you guys are really putting it on the right plane here, because right now this is the Inyan of the Shem Yichud Kodesh Brich Shpinta, the unity of the Holy One. Blessed be He, and His Shekhinah. Holy is actually a Pirush Rashi in Chumash by the Kohanim, who are their Kaddish, Kaddish LaHashem. And Rashi defines what's Kaddish. Kaddish means separate, moved on, separate. Their, you know, their whole existence is different from all the other people. And this is the unity of Kaddish, which means separate, Ubarach, which means to dry down. It's from the root word berach, which is knee, like a knee bends down. So the transcendent, the infinite, is being drawn down into Shekhinah, into having a resting place down here below. So this is the yichud, the unity of the transcendent and the immanent. And we say this in davening, and you know, some people have the custom to say this before eating anything. You know, I don't know people like that, but I've heard that that's true, and I believe it. They say that everything, because you're making a bracha, right? Bracha itself is Russian, is the same Russian, berach.
Okay.
I'm drawing down. And what
pool.
Do we say? Baruch ata, you yourself. I'm drawing you down, you yourself. And if you say a blessing, asher kidshanu, which you have allowed us to touch your transcendency through your mitzvahs, right? So this is the idea that we've been talking about around the table. Shem Yichud Kodesh Brich Shchinta. Shchinta, what's Shchinta? What's his Shekhinah, his divine presence?
Wow.
Shchinah is the mitzvah Samelah. It's the commandments. Now, mitzvah is another word. The mitzvah is associated with the Aramaic word for Sav, Savto, which means to connect. So mitzvahs connect us with Hashem. According to Asher Kidshanu, He's given us the ability to draw down from the infinite, the mitzvos of, in the connections that you have given us through these mitzvahs.
No.
Shehu b'chinas, huh?
Not the Shekhinah.
What?
The Shekhinah.
The mitzvahs draw down and create a unity between the transcendent and the infinite. That's what mitzvahs do.
Stop the mitzvah.
Yes. And that brings down the transcendent into the mamalim, into filling all worlds. Because Shabrichu Hu Bechinas Kaddish, and that's what I said. Kaddish Baruch Hu is separate, moved on. Hu Bechinas Soiv Kolom, the transcendent level, and that's a drawing down of the Hamshachas Or Ein Sof, of the drawing down of the Ein Sof, Shenimser the Mitzvah Zu, which is drawn down into this mitzvah. All right, now we're going to go to the paragraph Beis. Now we're going to get into the Avoda. It's very nice. We set this all up. But what about us, you know, who at least sometime in a moment of our life may have done some thought, some speech, some action, which wasn't 100% aligned with Hashem. After all, these are called the Seder Simchat Teshuva, Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur.
I'm not there yet.
So, anybody want to start reading? I'll give anybody an opportunity with no pressure.
The Hu Inyan from there.
Ach, no, starting with Beis. Ach, mi?
Ach, mi she...
Toigam.
Toigam b'Torah, ulam esel kein b'Torah, mi rab v'hin b'osi tov.
So one who has some blemish in dealing with, in one's connection with Torahness is whether it's a blemish in, you know, doing something you shouldn't have done or not doing something that you should have done. As everyone knows him or her own self. Everyone, so it could take a second, we're not going to take too many minutes, to think about a way in which you may have, as you said, blemished some Indian of doing, not doing what one was supposed to do or doing what one shouldn't have done. Each one knows himself.
The ESR Lulan Ship is so hot.
And because of that blemish, he's not able to draw down the revelation of God's attribute of kingship. So this is the advantage of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of Shuvah, it's a restart point. I mean, not everyone realizes this, that every one of us in the whole world gets an opportunity to restart. And let me just interject. I mean, I think the world needs a restart. And this is, and maybe individually, you can identify yourself the way you need a restart. To what extent? So, and this is the opportunity. It's invented for this. God invented Rosh Hashanah to go back to the head, go back to the beginning of everything, and hit the restart button. Beer?
Beer in
So how is it? We need to understand how is it that Shuva can fix a blemish, particularly in a blemish mitzvahs lois and mitzvahs aseh. If you have not done a mitzvahs aseh, there's a lack. What are you going to do about that? Even if you do it now, there was a lack back then. The big deal of Rosh Hashanah, it fills up the holes. Even something that you haven't done can be rectified on Rosh Hashanah. Something that you've done that you shouldn't have done can be rectified. You can cry about it. You can feel bitterness about it. You can decide never to do it again. And Hashem says, I'll forgive you for the fact that you did it. But how does it fix something that you've never, ever done? How does it fill up the hole? Okay. If you transgress a negative commandment, so upstairs there's some entity, some spiritual entity that's telling Hashem, look at this person. It's a prosecutor, a prosecutor. Since a person returns to Hashem, and Hashem has mercy, and asks Hashem for mercy, there's aroused great mercy upstairs. So something, an energy starts to be created upstairs from your feeling bitter remorse for the fact that you didn't do something that you could have done, the opportunity that was missed.
An opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You create an opportunity cost,
so
and he pays for it.
That doesn't help anything. It doesn't.
An opportunity cost, you lost the opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? You lost an opportunity, so that's the opportunity cost.
Right.
Now, in our real time down here, well, that's gone, right?
Right.
But think about even down here below. You have something happens, and you wish that the deal had turned out this way, right? And it didn't, right? So there's also Hashgacha Pratis is operating all the time. The fact that it didn't drives you to something, right? I blew it, or it was blown, the opportunity was blown. I lost it, I lost the position, whatever. So that drives you somehow to do something about it. And that something about it is going to bring you to a place that could never have existed had you not lost the opportunity in the first place. You following me? So Hashem pays back. It's a big news. In plain language, you lost the opportunity. It's gone, right?
Right.
But in Hashem's world, the fact that you feel bad about that brings forth an energy upstairs that, just like, what is a pagan? It's something missing. It comes from the word in the shkita, when you shake it with a knife. The knife can't have any pagan. It can't have any blemish in the knife. But there is a way of filling the pagan, right? You could take steel, make it very hot and reshape it, make it back molten,
mm-hmm.
and that will erase the pagan. And essentially, that's what Hashem is doing. He's erasing the pagan.
But it's not a pagan.
It's like chaser, like it's a missing. Yeah.
Pagan means like a missing tooth.
You've created an absence. He fills it with
not
a
pagan. Not you, someone. Who.
Not
someone,
right?
In theory.
One has taken a chunk out of reality. You've actually taken a chunk. I mean, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah connects you, mitzvah mitzavta, it connects you with God's essence.
So, but I see it differently. I see it like a mitzvah lo sase, right? And you do it, then you created a pagam, you created like a boo-boo on the knife. A mitzvah ase was create like a one that connects. Like an atom created.
I do follow you. But let's see. When you've done a mitzvah lois asay, I understand why you're thinking about it. You've created a pimple, on it.
Yeah.
But you've added something. You've added a force of negativity.
Right.
That's the pimple.
Well, you didn't really add negative. It's just
you did.
But there's a mid. It's a middle way. Like you could do something good. You could do something bad, and then you could do nothing at all.
Okay, but you did something bad in your language, right?
That's a mitzvah.
Lois asay, right?
Okay.
So you have done something. You have added something to the energy in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call it a pimple, right? Something negative has been added.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can do a surgery on that, right? That's fine. It's easy. Once you've created a hole. Well, I've got to come along.
It's not a hole.
That's what a pagan is.
Right, but so that's exactly why it's a hole.
That's what I'm saying.
If you
did everything,
it's a hole. But if you didn't do it,
was
it meant to be?
Yeah, because it was meant to be. Because the whole, everything is Bidei Shamayim, whatever you do, if let's say you're supposed to listen to Kiddush
Shvarim
and you didn't, it
was
your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you chose not to do something that
that's
was
the
true.
That's the only
Bidei Shamayim
we have. We don't have any other.
Everything else,
nothing else, what you're going to eat for lunch is not Kiddush Shvarim. That's what
Hashem
has planned
for you.
Yeah.
I'm done.
You seeing the perspective?
Yeah, I'm
understanding. Okay. Good.
You're supposed to do versus not doing something you're supposed to do.
Right, right.
And what effect that has.
Right.
Like a negative
so we are,
developing.
Yeah.
Or,
so we said, well, the negative, we can do surgery.
So as a Jewish person, we're responsible to do mitzvot asid. Because if we don't do it, that's
what we created a hole. We've created a lack in the universe. Something's missing.
There was an opportunity. We
didn't
talk
so much about it.
Okay, let's go further. Okay, so what's going to fill that? What's the Shuvah going to do? Hashem is going to have mercy.
He's going
to
repair.
He's going to arouse his great mercy up above. The line begins, Rabim Lamaila. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go continue.
Behem, what
does it stand for? Bechina. This is a category of thing which is called pure water. He's going to dump pure waters down from above.
Right.
I will throw upon you pure water, and you'll become pure. That he erases, right? He erases our sins. So this, he erases and he causes to pass.
How do you erase the tigor?
Huh?
How do you erase
the tigor? He erases, he pours water on it.
How do you erase the pagan?
The peshe b'hakit. He erases the sin and the prosecutor.
So, but we were talking about the missing out on the mitzvot.
Yeah.
How do you erase the whole? It's not, you don't erase it. That's an increase.
She has a point. She has a good point. It's a good point. Pouring water on it. What is that?
With tshuva? With tshuva, huh? We fill it. Maybe the water fills it.
That's a good question. How does the water fill it?
Yeah, but
I guess it would have to say something. No. I mean, that's not a bad motion, thank you. I mean, if it's an ice cube tray and you have less than a whole section, you pour water in it. Why he chooses water?
Water is
I could guess, but chesed, water is
chesed. Water is kindness. Water flows from above to below.
You would rather that he said he pours molten silver. Right, but he doesn't.
That's a little essential.
I'm
not putting that in my freezer.
Right, okay.
Ukamaimer.
Evil, iniquity, not that's with a hey. A Rasha is an individual person. Rishus. The evil will be entirely consumed in the cloud. All the spirit and freedom will be pass away. So actually, I misdirected you. That all that we did with the water was purify the negative. I was really talking about this was
like washing off dirt.
Yeah, I didn't direct it correctly. That's it's washing away the bad, mm-hmm. Right? Now he says, with a mitzvah's asin, the positive mitzvah, what's happening? You're missing something in the structure. Something in the structure of reality is missing. And that structure of reality in the language of the Zohar is called the limbs of the king.
Did you get the Malka?
Huh? Evorim de Malka.
The
Ma'ach is since. You're starting with the line. You're starting with the line Avu. I probably confused. So through Shuva, one can fix the pagam. One can fix the what's missing. So then, now we're getting to how is that? We still don't know how is it. How is it that through proper shuva you can rectify something that's missing? Because it's written, from the depths I call to you, God. Which means Abaya. Since I'm calling from the depths of myself, from what's hidden deep within me, and I'm calling to and calling out the revelation of what's called Havaya, which is the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that the God's name should be revealed. The Venus, Evre de Malka. So here's the punchline. He hasn't explained much.
From the depths.
It's from the depths. In order to fill the hole, you have to. It's not enough that you do shuv and say, I'm not going to do this again. You know, that's when you did something you shouldn't have done. Right? That's the kind of shuva. Harata, Balev, you have to have Harata and a decision not to do it again. To fill this hole, you have to get to Hashem's very deepest levels. At the very deepest levels, you know, there is no thing or thing missing. Everything at his level is always there. It's at our levels that we experience things are missing. So you have to get from your depth to his depth. Again, this is the same thing. The way that the face you show, this is called Solomon. Shalom, the face you show to the water is the face that you get back. If you cry to Hashem from the depths, you elicit from his depths where there is no chesed. There is no nothing lacking. And so you've now changed the whole structure. And now, why are we talking about this? Because that's what the shofar is, as we will get.
eventually.
So you have to, well, we're going to get to it because time is running out.
Maybe you should read the rest of it.
Okay. Okay. So you cried, from the high, your depths, when you called out to God from your depths, it touches the depths up above, the supernal depths. Which is God's supernal will, which is higher than all the detail of creation. And this depth, where do you feel this depth? In the depth of your heart. That arouses Hashem's Ratzon HaElyon. That when you arouse the depth of your heart, this is like this. If a person really wants something, that will arouse the will to do it. Right? Ein Dover Amid Bifnei HaRatzon. Nothing stands in front of the will. Question is, how do you get the will? You have to touch your heart. It has to be something that's a life and death issue. Right? It's deep, deep, deep. And I didn't know it was so deep until it happened. I didn't know how deep my connection was. I didn't know how important this thing was until something happened. Is what happened here. You missed the connection. You missed the train. Right? You missed the starting gun. Right? And you're stuck. So you cry. And if your cry is deep enough, that's the cry of the shofar. If your cry is deep enough, it reaches God's ultimate depths, where in there is nothing. Can nothing be left? And that's the only way to fill the hole, to reach the place where there's no such thing as holes. You getting? Yeah, sort of.
To the depths.
To his depths. That you deepen into your heart, inyan hamariros, the depth, the bitterness, benafshen, al godul hapagam, for the great chunk of reality that we've been talking about, that you've chunked out, the chesron, and what's lacking. Shagorim litzoik el Hashem, and this should cause you, or can cause you, to cry out to Hashem. I mean, if your best friend spurns you, imagine a relationship that's really, really deep, and all of a sudden you woke up one day and it's gone. You cry. At least I cry. I don't know about everybody else, but you cry. And if it cries, God hears the cry, and God will. It may take time. God knows how long. You've touched the depths, and that will fill. It will fill. It depends when and where and how it will fill, but it will fill from the depths of the heart through one's crying out to Hashem, but sarlay with his or her pain, which is called soit liba, the cry of the heart. This is the cry of the shofar.
It's not a literal cry. You don't have to actually.
You don't have to literally cry, although. You know Rabbi Branda from the Tannersville? No. And I learn with him every year. It doesn't matter. He davens Nisag Ashkenaz. You guys daven Nisag Ashkenaz? No. He's told that in his siddur, he says he found it kind of amusing that every once in a while in the siddur for Rosh Hashanah, it says in parentheses, here would be a good place to cry.
Oh,
exactly. A person should cry here, you know. And it says, there's Chazal, it's one who doesn't cry on these days. I forget how it goes. Better not to. But you have to cry. We all have something. I mean, I don't know. But I don't know a person that doesn't have something to cry about. And certainly, if we're honest with ourselves about the level of avoidance that we have and the level of service Hashem that we have, and I'm not talking just here about whether we're careful with kashrus, you know, or any of those things. That's important, totally important. But I'm not talking about that because those you kind of take for granted. If you're not doing those mitzvahs well, you've obviously broken a connection. But how about Avos Yisrael? That you really look at every other Jew and ultimately every other human as a part of God. And like it's interesting, we started this week's parshas is Parsha Mitzvah. We stand today, Moses gives his last parting remarks to us Jewish people. You're all starting today from the heads of your tribes to the bottom, all one. I mean, how many of us, at least a lot of the time, really look at each other like that and don't make judgments about each other? How many of times have we perhaps said idle talk, lashon hara, etc.? So there are subtle ways of breaking the yoke as well as you know, extreme ways. And when you think of breaking the yoke of heaven, what we mean here is breaking the connection between you and God in some subtle ways or gross ways, right? And to the extent that we do that, we do universal damage, cosmic damage. And the flip side, the extent that we mend the cosmos. We can mend this whole world. We can bring this whole world to behave in peace and harmony, right? That's the promise. And that's the capability that we have and the responsibility that we have within us. I'm going to skip now, we have about 10 minutes, to Ois Gimel. Hine gili b'chine zu, this the relation of this level that I've just been talking about. V'ratzon zeh, and God's will, whom is gala b'Rosh Hashanah. This is revealed on Rosh Hashanah. God's will to press the restart button for each and every one of us and for the whole of creation happens on Rosh Hashanah. Shubachinas, because Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh, it's the head, and it's the Galgalta, it's the skull, the Chashya Almoya, which surrounds the brain. The brain is where you think, right? But most of us don't think of the skull as anything other than a bone. But it's like the crown. Because you mentioned the crown. It's the crown to the brain. And stuff is happening there, right? Even though it may be just metaphorical, but stuff is happening there.
In the skull?
In the skull.
It's
take
bone.
A look at
there's
an
attitude. There's marrow, there's blood, there's nerves.
Exactly. There's a lot of layers to the skull. A lot happening in the skull. It's not just a simple thing. And then there's a membrane between the skull and the cerebral cortex in here. And the membranes are always metaphors for interfaces,
mm-hmm.
because that's what membranes do. They block and they let through,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's a membrane between the skull and the brain. The skull is the metaphor for the crown, the transcendent level, and the brain is the first part of the chokhmah, the beginning of the immanent level. So that's the skull, right? And Rosh Hashanah is a revelation from the skull, from the all-encompassing levels, the crown level, the king, which surrounds the brain. Shehula maila maila memishkan ha-chokhmah. It's much higher than Chokhmah Bina and Das. It's much higher than the internal intellectual powers. The Gam is sort of the Meshuv. And also in the 10 days, Shabbat Shalom Meshuv, throughout the 10 days, we say, Mamakim Korosicha, from the depths I call you. So we're entering a period where we have an opportunity to just cry out whatever is in our heart to God and know that the deeper our cry comes from, the deeper it reaches His Him. And the deeper it reaches Him, the more reality will change at high levels and at our levels as well. And that's why we blast the shofar. Pirush tiku, tekiya. This tekiya, this long blast, right? You know, should I demonstrate it? No. Kol pashut is a simple voice, one single blast. Hayetzi mehevel haled, which comes from the breath of the heart. It's not like singing different tunes. Or a song with different words. It's a simple that comes out like a blast. And that simplicity is a metaphor for the simplicity of God before creation, before there's any details whatsoever. So our cry of simplicity, the word here is peshitas, simplicity, where there's no definition to our, we're just crying, reaches His place beyond definition, which is the beginning of Him starting to begin to think about recreating the world. That's from the breath which comes from the heart, from Pinim Yusuf, from our innermost dimensions. So this is the tekiah of the heart, which is the cry of the shofar, which is the cry of the heart.
That's
coming.
Quite,
the
what?
Cry. Like
a whale.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay.
That's also cry. No, but I mean,
it's more like a
scream, like a shout.
Okay. Okay.
It's a whale.
What did he say?
The tekiah.
Right. So listen.
So
he gets to it.
Coming from like a place.
Wailing is the next one. And that's,
oh.
That's the shivorim, the broken one.
So
that's,
oh. So
that's really the broken one. So listen. So tekiah. We'll go back to the fourth line here. Mm-hmm. Begins with line.
Huh?
Tekiah b'choy d'shay. So that's what it says. Tiku. Here is tiku. That's your tekiah. Is coil pasha. That's before the wailing. It's not vibrating, it's not changing tunes, it's a simple voice. Ayaytzi mehalev, which comes from the heart, mepinim yosu, from the inner dimensions of the heart. Ruhu v'chinetz taikas halev, ayaytzi mepinim yosu. That's the cry of the heart coming from the most deep point of the heart. Shalamai lamaila meha hokma, higher than hokma, higher than the brain. Shev shalahetsi b'sfosu b'diva, and certainly it's higher than anything you could bring into words. Shadiva nimshem yibichinis hokma, because speech comes from brain, from intellect. And this is much deeper than intellect. You know, when a person, I mean, it's just, I mean, this is normal.
Like animals cry.
Yeah.
Like a dog can wail.
Yeah, a dog can wail. And that's what we do when we reach points which are beyond, I don't have words to express it. So what do I have?
A cry.
And it's because of Hashem. Yeah. Alzeh ne'amar shoma b'koili. And this is a pasuk. It says, listen, but we would simply translate it, listen to my voice. But that's not grammatically correct. If you look at Bikoili, it says, listen into my voice. Kiddush Bikoili is listen into. Listen to Ma Shebetoich Koili. Listen to what's within my voice. You getting it? Yeah. Listen to what's inside my voice. The Hainu Techich, Techiusi Pnimiusi, the inner content, the innermost dimension, Shehu Bechinis Pnimius Alev, which is the inner dimension of my heart. The voice itself, comes from the externality of the heart. I just like, and just take the shofar, right? I can blow all I want. And let's call that, that's my cry. That's the cry of Hannah wanting to have children. It's quiet. It's an expression of air, but it's only when I put the horn to my mouth that inner voice has some expression. Someone else can hear it, right? In this case, it's Hashem himself can hear it. You could ask him, what do you need the horn for? What does he mean as the ball? I think the horn is meant for us to materialize the cry.
Isn't there something about the mouth and the opening and the
right.
wire
a lot.
At the end?
There's a lot with the shofar, right? So, okay, so we the inner part of the cry comes through the shofar, and the external part of it, it comes from the internal part of it. The external part is lamata min chokhmah v'das. It's lower than chokhmah v'das. The internal deep part of the heart is higher than chokhmah v'das. V'zehu b'chodesh, and this is so. We got one word: tikkul, blast, cry from the into. Listen into my voice, into the inner dimension of my voice. V'zehu b'chodesh. So tikkul b'chodesh, right? So we know what the blast is. What's chodesh? Chodesh is the bringing into worlds, into being, from nothing to something. We spoke about this in the beginning. This is the chodesh. Every month is called a chodesh. This is the chodesh, which means new. And this is the news of the news. This is what drives all the other news. This is the original act of creation, where he creates from nothing and has undefined everything into substantial, infinite into finite. So that's Bechodesh. So this blast, this cry, reaches what we call the ayin, the nothingness of Hashem, which is the undefined state from which everything is created. U'mischachin b'chol Rosh Hashanah, and each and every Rosh Hashanah, everything is recreated from nothing into something. So this is not a just another year. It's not like, you know, the calendar, like every January 1st is another year. This is not another year. This is a year which has never been before.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new creation. And that's v'chachim b'chol Rosh Hashanah b'dvar Hashem. And everything comes into being again through the word of Hashem, v'ruach piv yisborach, and through the breath of his mouth. Is now, how does that happen? Because that's what the Gemara says. You crown him, you cause him to remember, and how do you do it? Through the shofar. Al yedei tekiya. Sheyim shavas benimis oineg rotzim. The tekiya of the shofar, that blast of the shofar, the first blast, draws down the inner dimension of God's supernal pleasure. Shelamayla mayla mebichinas chokhmah, much higher than chokhmah, umiskala bichinas shofar. And it's revealed in the shofar, shehu inin shifru ma'aseichem. The pasuk we say shifru means beautify, and he brings a pasuk here from Shmos, you know, when the commandment was given by Parah to get, so there were two, Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Rashi, this is a Rashi. Rashi, why is she called Shifra? This was Yocheved. She was Shifra Peres, Shemeshma Peres, Esablad. She cleaned off the newborn infant, made him like a nursery. He made him beautiful. There's another that's not brought here. It says, Shifraha de Yaakov Avinu kishifraha de Adam Arishon. The beauty of Yaakov Avinu was like the beauty of Adam Arishon. So you have a few capitulations of Adam Arishon throughout history. Davar HaMelech, Mashiach, basically. Recapitulations of Adam. And they're beautiful. Now we're going to skip. And I think we're going to skip. Okay. The line begins, Giloy. Giloy Leah's Giloy Dolphin. It's about halfway down this little lower than halfway. Is it Giloy? Do you have it? Who doesn't have it? You have it, right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And we're skipping after the comma. Vazeho Ola Elakim Betrua. This is also something we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening. Literally, that Elakim goes up through Trua. Now, Trua is the second class. Right. So, Trua, and the day, and this is your wailing and your groaning, the Trua. And Chazal, even though we call Rosh Hashanah Yom Adin, which we'll mention a little later, Chazal calls it Yom Trua. That's the name of the holiday. The day of our wailing, the day of our groaning, Trua. And it says, so do we say this in the Rosh Hashanah davening? Olah Elakim betrua, Havaya b'kol shofar. Hashem goes up in the voice of the shofar. Kirish, which means, Shalos Elakim elamata lamayla, the raising up of the name of God from below to above. Yeh mitrua comes from the broken sounds. The b'chinas kiva b'reas, through our expression of dearness and friendship. And then the drawing down of Havaya. See, this is we're hitting here. The difference between Havaya and Elohim. Havaya is broken into two words. Yud Havna. That little encapsulated Yud, that little point, which contains the infinite, that's the Yud. Havna, that brings everything into existence. Yud Havna, from above to below. Elohim is the opposite. The opposite is our service from below to above, like Davini. Torah is Havaya comes down from above. Torah is on Mount Sinai, from above to below, and prayer is from below to above. So we raise up Elohim, which is shorthand or Kabbalistic shorthand for the world with all its diversity, godliness in a diverse state, right? Elohim, and we arouse Havaya from above to below, and that's done the Kol Shofar, with the voice of the Shofar, the Echinus Oinag Elyon. We touch God's supernal joy, the Hamshik Truas Melo, to bring out the beauty of the king, the beauty in the of the king.
You're calling Truas Melo?
Yeah, Truas Melo. Sheyia Nimshach Olenu, he's going to say what Truas means actually. Sheyia Nimshach Olenu Oinek Vechiba Bereus. That's much better than I can put it. What is Truas? Truas is his Oineg, his delight, and his dearness, and his friendship. Shomahusa, of the Blessed King. And then he's down, he's here, in Yeshurin, in the community of man, he's the king. Yachad Shifte Yisrael, and he's uniting all the Jewish people. Shifte Miloshin, now here's why we call, every word is like so precious here.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jew, this Shifte Yisrael is the tribes, we're Shevet, right? But Shevet has another meaning. Shevet is a branch of a tree. Shevet Miloshin Anpim, a branch, Klema. Shafilu Bechinas Anpim Misparadim. Even we who are separate branches, back to our number of people around the table, right? Even we who are separate branches, Yu Yachad Bechinas Yichud Elyon, become united in a supernal unity, Yes Yachad Libaveno, through the unity of our hearts. Skip the small words. Now we're going to deal with this now a little bit, but it's after all, it's called Yom Adin. So what do we mean, Yom Adin? Especially in the light of everything we've said. So it's called Yom Adin. A person is judged al Maisov, Mishona Ashavra, about his deeds, one's deeds in the past year. Kileis Aini Viratsana Eyin Begili Malchusa, because in order for God's supernal delight and his kingship, his crown, the supernal, the transcendent levels to be revealed, a person has to tzorek l'pashba shel ma yochol ha'oineg, on what did he place or she place his delight or her delight? On what did one delight in all year long? What was the source of one's delight? You have to think about that. Pashpash. Pashpash means to really look into. What was the source of one's delight? Vameyas anem, begili malchusa. And what was your delight in terms of the revelation of God? Was it the fact that you happen to earn $1 million and were able to buy 3 houses? Maybe that was your delight. I don't know. Im hoya prikas oil malchusa. But did you delight in your connection with God, in your connection with the eternal? Or was there some aspect by which you have prikas or broken the connection? And on this, there are many things that interfere with our ability to connect with Hashem. Right? I mean, we have a nature, and our nature sometimes overcomes our godly, our animal nature overcomes our godly nature. So there are many interferences, there are many troubles. Troubles come one's way, and one doesn't take them as signs of Hashem's kindness. That, you know, I got lost in Las Vegas for a reason, and the reason only came out 20 years later. No, when you're lost in Las Vegas or any place, you feel a pain from being lost, right? So there are many interferences between that occur in life that interfere with our ability to see everything as godly, that He's running everything. The karma kitrugin, and on that, when people went upstairs, when they see us behaving in ways which are called prika soil, breaking the oath, so there's a kitrug, there's a prosecution, the din goes on upstairs, right? Well, lezehem, I say, but this is not the end of the story, because Chazal didn't call it, even though it's called Yom HaDin. This is not the end of the story. This is an opportunity to heal all of that. So lezehem aseres men shuva. That's why there are 10 days of shuva. Yes, v'chinis ma'amikim, to give us an opportunity to search into the depth of ourselves, le'oyder ratzina egon, and arouse our will and our thirst to be connected in such a way and from such depths that it reaches His depths and His supernal delight. Any bal yehe manoya, without any interferences. On these 10 days, and connected esa koifas. The throes of sin. Esa koifas and nefesh. Right, 10 spheres. So we have an opportunity. You know, like in Latin, each day of the Omer, we work on a different meter, right? We work on 7 times 7, 49 inter-inclusive meters. 10 days of Shuva, we work on each of our koifas, from Hoffman, Dina, Das. And one could, maybe Simon Jacobson could write a book about this, because he likes to write books like this. Maybe he did. I don't know. You know, day one, rectify Hoffman. Day two, he has that?
He has
it for Spiros. Maybe we'll write it.
Well, what about the 60-day book? Is that in it?
That's because that's from the old Fisher.
Right, but it might be included.
Maybe it's in there. It
I'm sure he talked about it.
If it didn't, we'll write it.
Okay.
Huh? Simon Jacobson is a good analyst of translating Hasidus into day by day what it means. You know? And he's written, well, he mentioned some things. So this, I just flipped it in my mind that this would be a good thing to write. Whether he did or not is no story.
Hasidus is based on Kabbalah, right?
Hasidus is based on Kabbalah. Yes.
But you can take.
But it's also, at the same time, it brings together Kabbalistic interpretations of Nigla. So
it's not exactly like actually learning Kabbalah.
It's not like
isn't that Kabbalah? Kabbalah takes Nigla and gives it as a character.
Kabbalah gives us a secret meaning, you know, into this into
Kabbalah
the
like cold.
Mitzvahs.
It's not.
It's
not. I don't mean Mitzvahs. Into Nigla. Into it gives you the secret of the Nigla, right? And what's often said about Hasidus is that Hasidus gives you the secret of the secret. In other words, how to operationalize it. How to put it into behavior. So that when you do this mitzvah, you're at least meditating, if not really interpreting, internalizing, what's it really about. so that you can activate the godly spark within.
Why do some people say Malala?
Well, they say that because the Chazal say that in the Gemara, in the Talmud, and comes the Arizal in what, 1600s?
Yeah.
I think. And he, with his Ruach HaKodesh, says that those times are over.
Mm.
Those times are over. And the Baal Shem, huh?
There's Shabtai Tzvi, right?
What about Shabtai Tzvi?
No, like what Shabtai Tzvi story happened. They got scared of Kabbalah.
Well, that...
No, in Gemara, you think. In Gemara.
No, no, but you're saying something else. You're saying when it became... The Arizal says that the curtain, the filter, the curtain between Kabbalah and the rest of the Torah has now been removed. And the Baal Shem Tov, even later, said that his expression was the Jewish people have fallen into a faint. They're cold. They're doing the mitzvahs, but they're cold. They need the infusion of the Kabbalistic interpretation. Now, Shabtai Tzvi was a different story. Shabtai Tzvi was an example of that, but he was an example of that gone bad. He was like not even a Avihu. He was like those who walked into the garden but never came out because he went crazy. You know, he went mad. Shabtai Tzvi and became a Muslim. He's a Muslim, yes. But he was, but because of that, that's what created, not that alone, but that was one of the big factors that created the big antagonism of the literature world, the Ashkenazi, what they call Misnagdim. The Misnagdim.
That's not the point, but...
Okay, go on.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk. The Misnagdim. Although some people say we should be called the Misnagdim because we are the ones who introduced the point of view that was new and against the other. But in any case, that ceiling, that ceiling between Kabbalah and the rest of the, that it shouldn't be learned until the 40, was removed by the Arizal, at the time of the Arizal. And you said it was necessary. And said there's a language, I don't have it quite in mind, that it's a mitzvah for everybody to get into this, into the Torah.
And what about when the first time the Lamed
Oh, like it's foolish to teach.
Human
rights or something.
What did it say?
It says that it's about teaching women.
He teaches his daughter, Torah teaches her.
Zanus? I don't know if it's in it. I don't know. But that's a whole other subject, right? Isn't that a whole other subject?
Of, it's not halakha.
Not halakha.
Right. And I think it says in many cases in Gemara that I started learning a little bit the Zohar on YouTube.
Really?
But they say a lot of things over there that's the opposite. They say that the father used to teach the daughters a lot of things and so on.
Sure.
And so on that are very important.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just because somebody said something in Gemara, he might have meant something, but you argue that.
I'll give you an example of that I know something about, which is rare. One of the expressions is Nashim Daito Tala. You've heard the expression?
Yeah.
Women have light das. So, now, first of all, das is on... What? What is what? Wait, I missed
like
that. What?
Light. Like the light.
Oh, like the light. Oh, their das is like light.
But
the word is Tala. It doesn't mean...
Right.
Nothing mean right. Lighthearted. Not much. So number one, das is only one of three mental faculties, right? Chokhmah, Bina, Das. And I'll tell you the context in which... The context in the Gemara, the words,
right.
That is
Bina, Yisera, but Das is...
Bina, Yisera. Bina, Yisera.
Okay,
you
can have everything.
And Chokhmah, Nashim.
Chokhmah, Nashim.
Right? So,
I think the only problem we have is Das. If
okay.
We have a problem.
When was that said? In what context was it said? It's a Gemara, I think, in Shabbos. You know?
I know one place it was said, but that
yeah.
Was
what's the event?
Also on Shabbos, Hilchot Shabbos. We're saying that, man, if he sees that the woman is very busy,
if his wife is very busy at home with before Shabbos and Shabbos is coming, then he has to light the candles just because that's in that
also, like
forget.
When you forget to pay out the candles,
you
don't
have to go back.
Women
don't
have to go back?
No, because women don't, but men have heavy
dogs. So this was said in the context, Shimon bar Yochai and his son were escaping the Romans in the cave. And I believe it was Eliezer. I think it was Eliezer said to him, it would be good if your wife knew where we were so she could bring us food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice.
Back to the kitchen with you.
No, what
yeah. No, no, the son said. Eliezer. So that's when he said, Noshim died from cholera. And the portion,
she might tell
the Romans, because a woman is not going to be able to stand up to the torture the way a man could. And
but
that may itself be an insult, but that's the source of it.
Interesting.
The Gemara has
to tell them whatever they wanted.
And I think this class is a good example of the opposite of that. We don't hear anything from the guys. I'm just reading. And
Josh
you guys
came up with a big guy.
Josh came up
with a
lot of
the Salmenu.
No.
Nothing.
What are we going to say? I told you about what Esther Freeman, who hosts this thing, I told you, I don't know if you were all here, but she opened an egress from the Rebbe and asked for a bracha for this class. And that's what led to you reading. Because the Rebbe said a novel thing that you should ask people to read if they want to read. And what was the thing in the show?
The Rebbe said that people should read something.
No, not, yeah, he said. In her answer that she got about the class, oh, and I'll tell you what, the next, that people should read. And you shouldn't force anybody, it should be relaxed. Okay? And that's what we did. But one other thing, I talked to the Ad Basin here in Crown Heights about this class. I mean, my question is really about sneus and mixing women and men together, and that's why we're on this side of the table and you're on that side of the table. But he also came up with a suggestion, which I use in the Daily Time. He said it would be good if, at the end of the class, everyone should at least think to themselves, if not articulate, some what's so what? What's the behavior? What's the? We've learned all this tonight. What will that mean to us, to each of us, tomorrow? How will it be different? Or how will our Rosh Hashanah be different? Now, again, I'm not putting anyone under pressure to say, but at least think about it.
Tap into that cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you would say the same. Yeah.
Your thoughts are not so calm.
You know, I think that's an amazing thing, to think that this is a time really where it's appropriate to cry. Someone will tell you, you know, you've just been dissed by...
No.
Is it always appropriate to cry?
No.
Well, it depends where.
God's calling on purpose, and they ask him, like, why? And he said, well, because it's the makers of the Mecca, and I'm like, sorry,
well, if it's always appropriate to cry, fine, but this is particularly appropriate to cry. So,
what's the crying for? Tshuva or just
tshuva.
Feeling a pain?
That's
the
good
question. The gum that we opportunity
yeah.
And the
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my question is, how everyone says, like, to only think the thoughts and speak good.
Because we're restarting it now. So that's
right.
So there's like there's
say
one,
that again, to speak the thoughts.
You only, like, to only think good
think
and speak good and
practice
to speak good. And that's like to, like, just be as, like, positive as possible in Rosh Hashanah and not to think anything negative. And I get it from the idea of, like, if everything's being recreated, you want to do it through, like, this new lens of, like,
right,
seeing the world in a better way.
Right.
So it's interesting that there's just also this other aspect of mourning. Crying and mourning.
Well, it's not mourning. You don't go,
right.
No,
mourning,
we're not mourning.
You mourn the...
I hear you.
Right. I think I'm not maybe even crying for, like, a state of
existence. You know, I'll tell you something that can meld those two points of view. The two points of view, they seem kind of opposite. So the Rebbe once, is famously, as they say, said, that means most people have heard about this, said in reaction to something, he said, I am always happy and I'm always frustrated. So David HaMelech said that simcha is implanted in my heart from this end, and bitterness or I think he used the word
frustration
from the other side, right? So sure, positive, be positive. But at the same time, recognize, why is he frustrated? Because there's always more. This is an infinite,
infinite
progression.
Happy but never
satisfied. He's happy. Because everything that's happening is good, regardless of what it is. I'm always happy, but I'm continually frustrated because this is an infinite structure, and no matter where you are in the trajectory, you're not there, and that creates a sense of missing and lacking, and cry about that. We're learning here.
Oh my goodness, that's so good. Because I read a book about the books that I recommended about. Glenn Gilman, he talks about how to teach babies to read and teach babies a lot of multiple intelligence and blah, 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 and whatever. And he claims, he says that when babies cry, it's because they're frustrated. It's because they know they can do, they can crawl, they can walk, whatever it is that they're trying to do.
Right.
You don't have to freak out when a baby cries. It's good that he cries because he's frustrated, and that's what's going to teach him and
that
motivate
will,
him to
do
more. That's probably the cry that we have to,
right.
The frustration. Like,
but
I'll
tell you,
like, I could
do so much more.
Recently came a story of the Rebbe. Many people go by the Rebbe, one by the Rebbe. And one guy stands in front of the Rebbe and just bears his heart in front of his heart and says, I want to tell you, Rebbe, I hate my parents. I hate my life. And the Rebbe says, you have a lot of power and you're honest. Those two things can really take you.
Mm-hmm.
Your power and your honesty.
Passion?
Power. What did you hear? Maybe
you didn't I think I heard it from you, and you said you have a passion, but
maybe
you said power.
Maybe it's wrong. Or maybe I'm not saying exactly right either, but that was the feel of it. Yeah. So look at three. Happy, we have to be. That's what you. I shall lay about it to Hashem, but simply to levels, right? In the Chumash. We were thrown off of our land. Because we didn't serve God with simcha, with joy, or with tov levav. But there are two chambers to the heart. The right chamber and the left chamber. And what we're focusing tonight on is a little bit of the left chamber. It's the part that's at the same time that you're happy with your lot, and happy for everything that God does, you're at least frustrated. Or if not crying tears, but at least a little bit embittered, yearning. Because if you, right, so you have to have that tension between the joy and the yearning. All right, guys. Chasim v'chasim v'toiva. Chasim v'chasim v'toiva. Good given to you. And our avoida should, you could keep it if you want. I'm not looking to take it back.
Take sushi, take cookies. Yeah. I made the cookies, the sushi.
I'll leave you with one last word of it, which is something that might be appropriate for Rosh Hashanah. Because to the extent that we've been, and each one of us probably could, in honesty with ourselves, come up with something that we should really work on in order to internalize the day by in daily life our connection with Hashem, something. And the Rebbe said that one of my Rabbi Ginsburg actually said this, that the four most important words that he ever heard the Rebbe say in Yiddish were Kera Weltheit, turn over the world today. And each of us is called an Olam Katan. A human being is called a small world. So today, every second, this is a new second. Turn it over, make it new.
Go ahead.